Welcome to a new edition of the Famous Interviews with Joe Domino series. On this episode, we talk with Vienna, Austria-born multimedia artist, writer, and advisor, Michael Magruch. He is a fascinating artistic and human force working on raising the awareness of human potential, contrarily to man-made systems like technology and economy. He points to our untapped human abilities. He believes we can heal the world and others by everyone being the best you that you can be for yourself, and understand what it means to be human. It's a fascinating interview, a fascinating person. Enjoy this conversation.
Good. Hey, good to talk to you, man. Thanks for taking a minute out.
No problem.
Let's start off here with the elephant in the room. You know, we've lived through a global pandemic. We're on the tail end of these 2 years. How have you been doing? How's everything been going for you?
I am mentally never better than I was. I tell you, you know, two things. Business-wise, same old. It just, you know, artists just live day by day. But I've never felt better than now in my whole life.
Why is that? Was there a level of reset that went into this, you know, pandemic time, or why is that?
I lost my job in the middle, 2 years after the, so like in last May, I lost my job. And I wasn't expecting that or whatever, but that happened. I went to live in a hotel and wrote my sixth book about systems and art, and it's almost done. I started my podcast, and I think I'm on the way that is me, you know, the self-realization. I think I hit the realization, and that makes me so happy. And the happiness overpowers the money issue or the system issue. So in systems, you know, I'm the same old, yeah? But in my own mind, in my happiness, in my fulfillment, I'm better. I've never been as good as now.
That's wonderful. You know, and I think I hear that more from people than I don't. I think there's been levels of this. There's silver linings that went into this. And, you know, I think as an artist, as a creator as you are, the key to this pandemic, I think, is if we didn't have art, it would have been a really dark time. I mean, if people didn't have movies and visual arts and other things like music, I think this, I hope we realize collectively how important art is in our lives.
Yeah, it's the thing is what we all discover is we really see that we have so many systems, and these systems are based on knowledge. Knowledge gets old. You know, we had people giving cigarettes out in hospitals, you know, and the knowledge gets old and it updates quicker and quicker. So what the people are drawn to is timeless, and art is timeless. Art is the language of wisdom. What humans really want is wisdom, which is timeless and basically tells us how we humans function in this reality, in this physicalness. And I think what people realized in the pandemic, because they couldn't be in their time in their mind constructs, you know, what systems say. The systems say you got to be in the future, you got to be in the past, you got to, you know, this is going to happen. If you pay this, this is going to happen. It's a constant rise of bigger, better, more. And we are so conditioned to that, and that was the big trauma of the COVID, I think. But we got so, you know, shook by that, but it also put us in a place where we say, okay, we gotta be in the now. We gotta see how we handle this right now. Putting masks on, don't put masks on, you know, getting the jab or not. It doesn't matter. We have to think in the moment. And we saw how weak it is to be in a mind construct of systems and the economy that constantly wants more and promises you to be a happy human by consuming more, by being better. I'm not against the economy at all. I'm just saying we are not aware that we are in mind constructs, in constant potential or the past. So we have never given more awards out so that the system has something to be valuable of our humanity. And it does. It really makes no sense. And I think there's a big. We're on a pivot point. Either we're going to destroy ourselves again, as a whole, which I don't believe. But you know, it happened before. Generations of, I mean, the Mayans and the Atlanteans and all these, you know, all these people, and have destroyed themselves. They were highly educated societies, and they have destroyed themselves. So we have a choice. We can destroy ourselves or not. Nature doesn't give a crap about it. So look at Chernobyl, you know, atomic, it just grows over. So we are in a delusion that we are the master of the universe and whatever. I mean, we're to completely, because of the economic system telling us, oh, you can get this, you can get this. You can. Life is also not always a plus. It's not always happy, good. Guys, you're the most bored when you just have no adversity. You're just like, oh, it's great. No, life is both. And you learn and you grow from both. And the system doesn't want to tell you that, because it wants to tell you, we can make you always healthy, always happy, always successful. Look at this. I mean, nobody cares about branding. Everybody just cares about marketing. You know, they slap a logo on and then just what are you standing for? What are you standing for? What is your contribution to this humanity? What is your contribution being a steward of humanity? Not steward of systems. Systems are coming and going. Remember Pan Am? You know? Yeah. It's now what I'm milking the like, for example, being with you, that's wisdom. That's the most value somebody can have, being with another human. And I'm milked that. I'm not thinking, oh my God, I have a 2 o'clock. I have this to do. I have that to do. I don't have money. I have this. I don't think about this. I just be in the moment and milk that, because that's where I get the real value. That's where I get the wisdom, limitlessness, and all this other stuff. But this is a slow process. And, yeah, right? Yeah. And it's a slow process. I can't. And art is basically teaching me this, because I wasn't good in school. I was a sick child. I always had adversity. I mean, a lot of people like me would have killed themselves. But you can choose that, to take adversity and grow. It's not like, oh, what doesn't kill you make you stronger. That's bullshit. I'm thinking what you get taught and programmed as a kid, that people say, hey, you know, life is not always plus, but you learn a lot from both, plus and minus. And where the power is in the balance. And we have completely ignored that. It's the third part of it. Because balance, what is in nature, nothing has advantage or disadvantage. An ant is not more worth than an elephant or less. And what holds this whole thing, there's nothing extra in nature. And what else in it is the balance. It's holding the whole thing into balance. And what do we do in the economic system? Because that system doesn't work with balance. 8 people own half the world. Half the world makes $5.50. You know? That's we reap. The Western world that actually got this world to be like that is now reaping the rewards from that, by having wars, having pandemics, you know, all this stuff. We're reaping the rewards of that, because we are not in balance. And economy doesn't say you and I are the same. Economy will never say two humans are the same. And they're never the same, but they are completing each other. And we are one human. And the art world is that steward of humanity. They have forgotten it, because economy went into that too. That's why 96% of artists are poor on the worldwide. But they are poor also because they don't want to go into the system, in the toxic system of existing. That's the other thing. So first I thought, oh, it's just the system doesn't understand art and blah, 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 blah. But it's also that artists don't want to go back. And intuitively, we are artists are the stewards of humanity. We have the best. If you want to study history, look at the art. That's the most objective history, not of what the history, the written history is in systems.
Totally.
And that is my work, and that's why I'm so, you know, happy, because I got this realization in the last 2 years.
That's brilliant. And a lot of that is about community, living in the moment. There's hints of existentialism. There's so much in there that's right. And you're right. Nature, it's like when a fast food restaurant boards up, grass grows, everything goes. If you don't do anything to it, nature's just going to consume it. And it doesn't matter if a McDonald's was there. It won't make any difference at all. So I'm curious. You were born in Vienna, Austria. I'm curious. Talk to me about your early years. I know you talked about, you know, struggle and strife. How did you get to the point where you arrived where you're at right now? What were some grooming things that went into this?
Nothing. This is so good. This is such a great question, Joe. That is such an unbelievable, because I'm contemplating that question too. Because when I ask people, how did they get successful? And you know how many people wrote books that they're successful, you know, Bill Gates and everybody. I believe, I just realized that in the last year or so, there is no such thing that you know why you got successful. You know why you got successful. But that's because we are all different. It doesn't apply to somebody else. And so I cannot tell, I can just tell you, I would say one success tip is that, and I know there's other people too. So I say in my case, okay, because I don't want to generalize that. In my case, it was I couldn't be different than I am. So I was blessed with that, that I was sick, that I was dyslexic, that I couldn't pass schools, that I was the speaker of the class, but I flunked the class. So I had this disparaging thing. So, and I was drawn to humans, because I felt safest with humans, not with systems. And I wanted to know, and I think that's also specific to me. I wanted to know how you to be human, how that works. What is it to be human? I mean, you need to get a driver's license, you know, you need to make a driver's license, but you can bear 15 babies and nobody cares. You know, it's just, we don't give it anything about the humanity where really the treasures are. Humans are the treasure. Nature is the treasure. Study nature. Don't try to reinvent nature and know you're better. I mean, in Europe, they say, and I'm listening to this show about, you know, nature, and they say, scientists say nature needs humans to help him. Nature doesn't need anything. And when you get in an arrogance where you think you are better than what you haven't created, like humans and nature, you must fail. And you don't have that wisdom. You're so detached from your humanity and nature and I think that's the only thing perhaps I can generalize of all my life, is that my true north, I wasn't conscious about it, now I am, that my true north is always limitless nature, limitless humanity, and the wisdom that is in both. There's so much wisdom in it, and wisdom you can't write down. I can't give you a guidepost to wisdom, but you have to experience and feel it to own it. And you can't sell that. You know, and the same thing, you cannot sell the energy of art. The energy of art was nothing else but be created and expose it. So the non-physical, imagine, oh, I have an inspiration. Oh, you just told me something, Joe. And then have that inspiration. And I think, oh, Joe, I look at this word. I'm going to make a poster out of it or whatever. And then I create that poster. And that process is magical. That's the magical process. And that's where I call it the language of wisdom, because you learn by experiencing. And that's so powerful.
Who would you consider your hero? Who are your inspirations that you look up to?
I have no heroes. I have no heroes. I have no heroes. I think every human, you are as much an inspiration as Einstein. I don't believe in because that's a direction again. We are limitlessness. There is no, you know, and I have that question all the time. Hey, who's your heroes? I don't have heroes. I look up to Miles Davis. I look up to Einstein. I look up to certain people. But I, because I believe everybody has the contribution. A lot of people don't make it visible, you know, like Einstein or Miles Davis or so. But they are contributing as much. Who is us to tell that a cleaning woman in a little South American village doesn't have the same impact or something? We don't know that. We didn't create humans. We didn't create nature. Those two things we don't know. So, you know, I think totally out of the box because I could never fit in the box. I could never fit into systems. And so basically I was left on my own to team. So I look at completely different. But, you know, when you look at light, when you change, all of a sudden you see the prism. You see a lot from a different viewpoint. And that's wisdom too. And we're not even aware of that, humans, because we're so into doing. We're not beings, we're doing.
What was the book that you wrote over this? You said you wrote a book in the last year.
The new book is about systems. It's about how creativity is used to systems. It's not done yet, but I'm, so basically, we talked about, you understand what I say with systems. So we create, like say you and I want to have a garden and you and I want to share the garden. So you say, hey, I'm taking it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you the next day. And if you can't do it, you call me and say, when we do it. But if the more people using that garden, let's say all our families, all of a sudden you have to make rules, regulations, and it becomes more of a burden. All of a sudden, you have 150 people wanted to use that garden. Now, it's more effort to get to use the garden than actually using the garden. And that's where we are right now, humanity. We're more into navigating systems than actually using our human potential. So we are so busy and so stressed just to get to something, just to have something, just to achieve something, that the initial idea of making it easier, because what is a system doing? A system is here to facilitate humans. So humans can look to create their human potential. And systems are now, and this is the sad thing, it's using the humans to create and maintain the systems and the people that navigate the systems. So all humanity is actually working against each other. Good example is tax. You know, they need new taxes, new politics, new systems, new politicians. We need new taxes to get our promises out. So that we have a whole bunch of geniuses creating new taxes and how to pay them and how and not to cheat them. And the other side is, okay, I have the money. I don't want to lose it. I'm going to navigate the system so that I don't pay taxes. So we all use the money. It's not worth the money because the energy and life force that goes into paying taxes. I'm not against taxes, but the system, how it is used now, it's more efforting than it's actually the profit that we get. And we still have, and with all the systems, our roads are not okay. This is not okay. Environment is thing. I mean, and it's not more humane. We are not more humane. The person with money wins, and that shouldn't be. If the system works, it should be what's the most humane, or what's the right thing. And there's no right and wrong, but what is the most that helps the human potential? And that's and so this book is about this. This book is about to see it. It's not a criticism of the systems. It's we need a new, I promote a new relationship to systems where humans and nature is number one, and then everything comes afterwards, and everything applies to that. Because without our habitat, nature, we can't live. And how arrogant can we be that our grandchildren are not allowed to have the experience we have? I mean, can you imagine that arrogance?
Oh,
that
man.
You would even, instead of being the stewards of this planet, right? We are guests on this planet. And we are the stewards so that other humans, children, our next generation, can even see what we achieved, can even enjoy what we did, can enjoy the art that we did, the science, all this stuff. And we are so arrogant that we say now, because we are so conditioned, we conditioned ourselves, not the systems. We conditioned ourselves because on the other side of systems are humans. And if we can get that, we can get human is against humans, and we need to wake up and be humans with humans. That's, I think, this is one thing why podcasts are rising so much, because there's so much power in, it's a superpower. I say art is a superpower, a human superpower. But I think the second what is a superpower is the dialogue, a healthy dialogue.
Absolutely, yeah. No, and I was thinking too, while you've been talking about this, the one thing that hopefully over this COVID time we've realized is the power of community. You know, I think people have kind of been like, yeah, I can do this on my own, or I can be isolated, or I can use social media. But I think the reality of it is, you know, I do a lot of interviews with musicians, and there's this increasing awareness of the fact that being in a room together creating that is the most important thing, because the audience and the musician feed off of each other and create such a symbiosis that it brings you to another level. And I think overall, you know, I mean, even in the early goes when this started, I started seeing people walking and talking to each other and interacting, and I was like, wow, if that's a reality that sticks after this, I'm okay with that, because you see too many people inside, too many people sheltered from each other, but that community mingling, that cohabitation of humans is so essential.
We are herd animal. We are herd animal. Why do you think people hang on their iPhones? Not because the iPhones are so great. They hang on their iPhones because they have an instinct in our DNA to connect to others. And they are not aware of it. They think, oh, and there's a whole system built. Oh, we need to have less iPhone. And no, because that can, you need to be less human. Be as much as iPhone as you are, but with other humans, hopefully. That is the point, not with a game, because then you're not having the reflex. But, you know, and the musician that you mentioned is very good, because this musician is where we, in art, there is no race, gender, you know, sexuality. When you are in a concert with all these people and everybody sings the same songs, and you think, oh my God, every hair stands up on my back. I get goosebumps. I start crying. That is when you experience one human. We are one human. Cats don't say, oh, you're a black cat, I can't go with you. No, you're a white cat, you're horrible. Cats are cats. Humans are humans. We come in different shapes and forms. And one of our distinctive characters is that we are all different. And with all the difference, we are always interesting. We are never boring when we focus on that. I mean, I go to life and I say, oh my God, I love this life. I love having a talk with you. I'm so happy, because it makes me fulfilled, and fulfillment makes happiness. Money doesn't make me. If I had $1 million, yeah, that would be good, but that wouldn't make anything more happy than now I am with you.
You know, you said we can heal the world and others by being the best you. How are we going to get to that point? I mean, you've mentioned over this conversation that we're kind of at this precipice, this very gentle place in history. How are we going to turn the corner as humanity?
I don't know how we got to turn, but I tell you what I do. And while I say to be the best you, because think about it. Whatever systems say, they never promise. What they promise, they never hold. Because what they promised forever, get a job, do this, do this, then you will be happy. How many people out there do everything the system, especially women, because they're more flexible, they're more they can more adapt. They get their 3 children, they get their house, they get the white picket fence, they get the doctor husband, they get the BMW, the Range Rover, and all of a sudden, about 55, their children are done. and they've gone into a university. They all are universities. So a perfect societal system picture of happiness, right? They have the Labrador, everything. And then they come and say, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I do. I did everything and I was programmed that when I do all these things and I can complete it and actually reach them, I will be happy. And I'm not. And I'm depressed. And guess what? This is the best example, because when you are doing everything the system says and you are not happy and fulfilled, guess what? It's your fault. There's something wrong with you. So why not taking being the best that you can be, not meaning the best for the system? And I think that is a key difference. What can Joe do the best that he can do without struggling, without sacrificing, without walking on his knees? What can you do the best that you can do? And one thing is taking care of yourself in that. And that is not taking care of everybody else, making enough money for everyone. It's about taking care of yourself, of your mind, of your being. Because therein is the value. It's not in the system. If you have $1 million, your body and your soul doesn't give a shit if you have $1 million in your bank account or not, or if you have a car. You gotta find that limitlessness, and you can only find that when you say, I'm questioning everything I do to do the best that I can do. That's it. And then accept also facts, you know. You can't say, okay, there's no gravity. Screw you, there's no gravity. Yeah, you can jump around, you know, make saltos or whatever, but you're coming down all the time. So why would you fight it? And I think that, you know, the natural rhythms that the you know, the nature has, you know, seasons, cycles, when you don't abide by that, then that makes you forever. That makes you extend your life. That makes you imbalance. But in economic system, all systems are based on an economy because they have to, you know, exist. And they are not humans. And they go by economic principles. But we could change them, but we have to see it first that we change them. That it always more, better than you, better than me, I'm worse. It's all the same thing. There's no more classification. You just be the best that you can be, and you don't need to reach out. You don't need to heal people. You don't need to save people. Just be the best. I'm not here to save people. I'm just saying what I have to say. That's why my podcast is 30 seconds, The Smart of Heart. It's like, 30 seconds. I say something, you think about it, you go with that knowledge. And I believe in that's the human potential. That you just listen to it. And because you guys with the longer podcast, you do the job anyway. We don't need more long podcasts. You know, we need better, more niche podcasts that I can select better. Or shorter podcasts, but not, you know, hours of podcasts. I mean, there's people that put, I think, 3 podcasts out a week. That's insane. I mean, who's going to listen? And that's just opinion, you know?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I love your artwork. It has such a color and a vitality to it. What's kind of your opera mundi when you get in front of a canvas?
Okay, so first of all, you probably realize I'm gregarious, I'm loud, I'm very detailed. You know, I'm going into details, meaning it's called hard edge, you know, the straight lines and the color exchange, and always hard contrast, because in hard contrast is energy. So I like, my opus operandi is I get inspired by something. So I can get inspired by our talk, I can get inspired by an ad, I can be inspired by that, and because it's just a part, I see it as a part of that. And I look at that part, or I see a color. It's very, and actually I use that for artist students that have a stop flow, you know, where they say, oh, I'm writing, because they are not in their own, in themselves. They are in the system. When you, because, you know, before 1932 or so, there was no such, never, or 1940, there was never a mention about flow, writer's block, or that you the artist cannot produce. It's our interaction with systems that made pressure on us that we cannot be who we are, and then we cannot let stuff in. And so I start usually, I get a desire for color. Let's say yellow. I put yellow on the canvas. And if something comes, another color, let's say red, I put red on it. And I just allow it to evolve for me. This is the sacred process, especially if you don't try to copy. You know, if I am a representational artist, I want to copy the landscape or something. Or I want to interpret the landscape. I have already something there, but I'm a more abstract guy. So I look what comes in and go with the feeling first of what I feel. So I might feel not a square canvas. I might feel a round canvas. I might feel an elongated canvas. Or I say, hey, this is not a canvas thing. This is a digital thing. So I might feel that. But usually if you're open, if you're the best that you can be and you be in the moment, you get the inspiration. So it will come to you, and you're not thinking, what can I, because then you're not in your body. So when you're not in the moment, when you start thinking, what could I create? You can ask the question. But if you say, what could I create, and ask the question and go and leave it as that, you will get the answer within. If you go into your mind construct that the systems have taught us so well to do, in the future, or what happened in the past, and try to get the past into the future and all that stuff, it never's going to happen real. You know?
Right. Absolutely. Wow. This has been brilliant. I'm literally mulling over all of the pieces and parts of what you've constructed. You're brilliant. Your ideas are wonderful. There's so much of what you've explained that would help humanity in so many ways. And I really hope that people listen to you, listen to this, and grab on to what you're saying, because there's a brilliant simplicity that's complex if you really mull over it. So I thank
it's
you
wisdom.
For taking some time out. Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
This is the difference between knowledge and wisdom, because the reliability, knowledge is something you have to bite yourself in, and you might go against wisdom. And wisdom is something you connect, and you connect with humans.
Yeah, and you're doing a whole lot of that. Man, this has been wonderful. Thank you for opening up. Thank you for letting me into your world for a little bit. You definitely are a creator in every sense of the word. You're a force. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. And anytime you want to talk about a specific issue, anytime. Okay?
Yeah, I would love to.
And my website and hub, where you find all of my books and podcast issue and everything, is michaelm.com, and Michael with two L's. michaelm.com, Michael with two L's.
Thanks for tuning in to another Famous Interview with Joe Domino, where we cover the world of art, literature, and music around the globe. Most of the music on these episodes comes from Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Go to YouTube and visit the Neon Jazz channel. And for everything Joe Domino related, go to JoeDomino.com. And when you're there, you can donate to the cause via PayPal or Patreon. Until next time.